Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastacharye Satarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is there some reason why the camera is not on in Numayapur? Previously it was on and I could see. Maybe that's because there's nobody's there. Hare Krishna. So, just one brief announcement. I know I had previously announced that devotees could ask questions online, but I took it down because devotees were using it for something else. So... I figured, why, if they're not going to ask questions related to the class, why should I leave it there? So, if you had questions, my apologies. Because other devotees wanted to use it for other purposes, I decided to take it down. So today we will have class on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we'll be beginning on... Verse, I don't know, wait a minute, I'm lost. Yes, 228. I'll do a few verses today. There are many verses, they're all interwoven, all covering the same theme. And although I will read a few of them, I won't be reading all of them, but I will read a few of them. Visheshato nagarasekarasya svaramatit Svaramatari svaguna pavadhai apekshaniya paramapriyasa kashta parashi bhagavata simna. Excuse me, bhagavatva simna. Translation. The way the chief of expert heroes voluntarily submits to his devotees is supremely dear and attractive because it contradicts his self-satisfaction and certain other of his natural qualities. It is the ultimate perfection of godhood. Commentary. The greatness of God is seen most fully when he becomes subordinate to his servants. In such intimate dealings, the Lord reveals his most special qualities, like his unselfish efforts to give happiness to his devotees. This aspect of his personality attracts the admiration of pure Vaishnavas, even when it seems to contradict such features of his absolute status as his eternal self-satisfaction, his effortless acquisition of whatever he might desire, his supreme mastery of the powers of mystic yoga, and so on. One may learn more about this topic by studying such pastimes of Krishna as is destroying the pride of Satyabhama, as told in Sri Hari Vamsa and other devotional scriptures. We'll stop here for now. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the verse one more time. The way the chief of expert heroes voluntarily submits to his devotees is supremely dear and attractive because it contradicts his self-satisfaction and certain other of his natural qualities. It is the ultimate perfection of Godhead. This is oftentimes and has been many times presented in previous classes, so I will not go into so many details of the philosophical underpinnings behind this verse. Essentially, as we've many times addressed, Krishna's supreme quality, which is the emperor of all of his qualities, is Bhakta Vatsalya, which is that his greatest pleasure is derived from submitting himself, subordinating himself to the love of his devotees and reciprocating fully according to their desire in such a way that his godhood almost becomes compromised. In fact, to an external observer, and that is the point that is made here, to an external observer, Krishna's godhood definitely appears to be compromised. And this topic will come up even more in the upcoming verses, which we'll read today, which not only about how his godhood is compromised, but also those who observe the behavior of devotees who experience mahabhava or ecstatic love for the Lord, they'll neither be able to understand the behavior of the Lord, nor will they be able to understand the behavior of the devotee. Because when they look externally at the behavior of the devotee, they may also appear to, and they may also conclude that this is a very compromised, self-realized soul. How is he compromised? Well, self-realized soul is somebody who's fully blissful. That's the status of a self-realized soul. And if I'm supposed to believe he's self-realized, how am I going to accept that he's crying, overly emotional, you know? In fact, the first thing that immediately comes to my mind is how the students of Devananda Pandit, they observed Srivas Thakur in Devananda Pandit's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was presented without any bhakti, without bhakti and without speaking about bhakti. But Srivas Thakur happened to be present, hearing it, and because Srivas Thakur was a manifestation of Narada Muni, a great devotee of the Lord, fully self-realized, situated in ecstatic love, even though the recitation by Devananda Pandit was full of fault, still he extracted the essence and became very emotional. And when the students of Devananda Pandit observed the emotional behavior of Shivas Thakur, they considered his emotional behavior to be a distraction to hearing from Devananda Pandit, not only a distraction to them, but they considered a distraction of Devananda Pandit, who also didn't say anything when his students lifted him up, carried him out. Shivas Thakur lifted Shivas Thakur up, carried him out, and placed him outside the door. So there is a perfect example of how the external appearance of a devotee who is situated on a platform of love seems to manifest certain external behavior which persons who are not familiar with the characteristics of external love, of external behavior of somebody who's actually in love, will consider to be faulty. Just as in the same way as the Chaitanya Bhagavat is filled with examples of same thing happened with Haridas Thakur when he heard the mantras chanted by the snake bite physician. And when he heard those mantras chanted by the snake bite physician, he heard them as glorification of Lord Ananta. And he began manifesting ecstatic symptoms. And he fell on the ground. And when he fell on the ground in ecstasy, he lost external consciousness. And then when he came back to external consciousness, he realized what happened because it was something that he could not control. And he was very embarrassed because he was seeing that everybody was watching him. And he got up and he tried to just slip away, hoping that nobody would see him and recognize him. And during the whole time, while he was manifesting those symptoms, the snake bite physician had his hands folded in great reverence to observe, because he could understand these are symptoms of ecstatic love. So he stood with reverence and held his hands in reverence to the behavior of Haridas Thakur. And one Brahmin, who was external, was nearby, and he was thinking, this Haridas Thakur has taken a low birth and has received so much respect from everybody present. I'm a Brahmin. I'm certainly worthy of more respect than he. I should get similar respect, if not more, because people should know that I'm a Brahmin. So he fell on the ground, and he began manifesting similar ecstatic symptoms, rolling on the ground, tears, ripulation, but they were all, of course, imitation. And the snake bite physician took his stick and began beating the Brahmin. And the Brahmin, of course, because he wasn't in ecstasy, he began crying and running out of fear for his life, calling out for someone to help him. And all the people who had been standing there observing the behavior of both Haridas Thakur and the Brahmin, they couldn't understand the behavior of the snake bite physician and asked, previously Haridas Thakur manifested such symptoms, and when this Brahmin manifested symptoms, you beat him. But when Haridas Thakur manifested, you held your hands in deep respect. Why? So, of course, the snake bite physician was learned enough to know and to be able to recognize the symptoms of somebody who genuinely has ecstatic love. And he said, because Haridas Thakur was genuine, and the so-called Brahman was simply cheap imitation and was simply interested in his own self, own aggrandizement. He wanted glorification, prestige, recognition, and therefore to expose him, which I hope all of you saw, I decided to beat him. And of course, the snake bite physician was glorifying Haridas Thakur. So, not only does the Lord, does the Lord's behavior, something that seems to be contradictory, but even, as we will read in upcoming verses, that the devotee's behavior will also appear to be contradictory. Why so much emotion? You know, same thing Prakasananda Saraswati asked Lord Chaitanya. Why so much emotion? Why don't you just come with us and study Vedanta and forget all about this emotional fervor? You'll get over it. And similarly, even the residents of the worshippers of Goddess Durga who were observing the Vaishnavas and having ecstatic kirtan, they also presented in a similar way. Why such emotional fervor? Because they thought there's something higher than emotional fervor. They could not recognize it. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was very merciful to Prakashananda Saraswati. That's a whole other story. And also including the 60,000 Mayavadi sannyasis who were of the same mindset. But I don't want to go on to something else. In fact, I wasn't even going to speak about this topic, but I thought it was appropriate to mention it because it does directly relate to what we're going to be reading about in the upcoming verses. But now let's discuss about the Lord's contradictory behavior. And this is what this commentary says, that in such intimate dealings, the Lord reveals his most special qualities, like his unselfish efforts to give happiness to his devotees. This aspect of his personality attracts the admiration of pure Vaishnavas, even when it seems to contradict such features of his absolute status as his eternal self-satisfaction and other things that we mentioned already. So, as we mentioned before, and I forgot to summarize just a couple of verses previous, that we're speaking about how Krishna gives love to his devotees, but sometimes he keeps it hidden. And now we're going to read and try to understand a little bit more about why does he keep it hidden. He keeps it hidden. Well, I think I'll, rather than speaking about it now, I'll wait till I read it in the purport. And we'll get to that. But the contradictory behavior we've spoken about many times. How even in one pastime, the Damodar Lila, so many contradictions of Krishna's Atmarama, self-satisfied, yet one contradictory behavior of the Lord was, although he's fully self-satisfied, he was quite disturbed when he didn't get his milk. And not only that, but he's supposed to be fully up to kama, which means all his desires are automatically fulfilled. And but yet, at the same time, we see that his desires weren't fulfilled, and he became not only unfulfilled in his desires, but he became very impatient and restless, and he was hankering. Now, how the Lord is hankering for something, he's supposed to be fully satisfied, but he was hankering so much from the milk from his mother that his mother was busily churning the milk, and he was grabbing her hand, trying to stop her, saying, "No, please, can't you see? I want something, and you're not giving me the attention that I need," because he was hankering for milk from his mother. So he's hankering, becomes angry. He steals, although he's surrounded by unlimited goddesses of fortune, but still he steals just like a thief. And again, this one pastime describes many contradictory elements of the activities of the Lord. And previously, I had one time read, I forgot to bring Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Maybe I have it here. Previously, I had one time read how the Lord has 18 faults. One of the scriptures describes the 18 faults that exist, that never exist in the Lord. These 18 faults that never exist in the Lord, and I don't know if I have them here. No, I don't. Excuse me one second. I wanted to bring Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'll disappear for a moment because I wanted to read them. So, these 18 faults are described as bewilderment, sleep, error, material attachment without prema, material lust, which brings suffering, fickleness, intoxication, envy, violence, exhaustion, toil or hard labor, lying, anger, hankering, worry, absorption in worldly affairs, prejudice, and dependency on others. Now the Vishnu Yamala, I believe that's the Shastra, describes these 18 faults, specifically states they're faults that never exist in God. They don't exist in God, but they do exist in Krishna. For those who don't see Krishna as God, they exist in a very wonderful way, and they exist in a way, such a way, that the devotees, they relish hearing about Krishna's behavior, which completely contradicts God's behavior. For them, it's their highest pleasure, and for Krishna, it's his highest pleasure, because it gives pleasure to his devotees. He's giving pleasure to his devotees, which is, of course, the emperor of all of his qualities, is that he's ready to compromise whatever others may expect from him as God. He's ready to compromise because giving pleasure to his devotees, that's number one. That's always number one for him. There's no other number one. There can be no other one. Giving pleasure to his devotees. Those who love him in spontaneous, loving devotional service. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehi nam gopikasuta. Krishna can't be known by any other means except by spontaneous devotional service. Then you can really know Krishna. The worshippers of God, they know Krishna. They have knowledge of Krishna. So much knowledge, is, of course, is revealed to them, as we talked about previously about in the Vaikuntha planets. One of the symptoms of the residents of Vaikuntha is they have knowledge of Krishna's divinity. They know how great he is. They know everything about how great he is. And their pleasure is hearing about how great he is, according to his pastimes in Vaikuntha. But devotees, his most intimate devotees, they know nothing about his greatness in this way. They only know him as friend, lover, child. They only know that. And Krishna makes it clear that's who he is to them. That's all. He's ready to sacrifice everything else to make it clear that's all he is to them who love him in this way. And that's what we talked about yesterday. We talked a little bit about those verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Mother Jasoda, Krishna's friends and the gopis, and how Krishna fully reciprocated according to their moods. So when he does so, then he appears to act in contradictory ways. I'm not going to read, Jiva Goswami, he gives a lot of different explanations to all of these 18 faults. I'm only going to read a few of them, which are specifically in reference to his absolute status as his, such features of his absolute status as his eternal self-satisfaction. Okay. One of them he gives is hankering, which I already mentioned. He was hankering, and how he stopped Mother Jasoda from churning the butter because he was hankering for milk. Then his worry, he was worried. He was worried because when Krishna couldn't find the calves and the caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he was worried. He was looking everywhere for them. And Jiva Goswami explains why was he doing that? Because another quality that Krishna manifested is he appeared to be bewildered. And he showed this bewilderment to Lord Brahma because Lord Brahma wanted him to think that he was capable of bewildering Krishna. So Krishna apparently was bewildered because even though he knew where the cows were, he knew where the cowherd boys, he knew exactly where they were, he knew how they got there. Still, he was wandering around. Where are they? Where are they? Worried. Where are they? In anxiety about them. Just to bewilder Brahma. So, Krishna, this is another example. And another one was his dependency on others. Now, how can Krishna ever be dependent on others? He's supremely independent. Very first verse of Bhagavatam, he's Svarat, he's completely independent. Yet, he states very clearly to Durvasa Muni, he said, when Durvasa Muni says to him, can you please protect me? He tells him, well, sorry, I can't protect you because I'm not independent. I'm completely dependent on my devotees. And the devotees are always in my heart. I'm always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't think of anyone but me, and I don't think of anyone but him. And I'm not independent. I cannot protect you. And if you want protection, then you'll have to go to my devotee because I can't act independent from his desires. Such was the elevated status, of course, of Ambarish Maharaj. So, Krishna's dependent on others. We spoke about yesterday. We read the very beautiful Leela Prabhupada was describing how we should make Krishna dependent on us. How Krishna was dependent on Mother Jasoda to feed him. And how Prabhupada was saying, no, we should not be pray to God being dependent on him for what we need. We should make God dependent on us. That is bhakti. And that was Prabhupada's declaration in his class that we read yesterday. So these are all apparent external contradictions which the devotees relish. And those who do not understand the nature of loving relationships on this platform of spontaneous love, they become bewildered by it. And we're going to read in some verses why does Krishna, just as we read yesterday, why does Krishna give liberation easily? But he doesn't give bhakti so easily. He keeps it hidden. Keeps it hidden. And he has a reason for keeping it hidden. And there's a very nice description given, which I also wanted to read in this connection from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But first, let's move on with these verses. And when we get there, we'll read it. This is text 229. Saprema bhakte paripakkatasyat kachin mahabhava vishesha sampat savai nari narti mahaprahasha samrajya murdopari tatvadrishtya. In the final maturity of devotional service, in pure love, sometimes a unique treasure appears. Mahabhava, the highest stage of ecstasy. With the vision of truth, one sees it in the kingdom of the greatest delight, where it dances exuberantly upon the ramparts. Commentary. In Mahabhava, the most rare experience, one suffers the torment of burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. From the purely spiritual point of view, this so-called suffering is actually the most sublime ecstasy. Text 230. Swabhavato tapi maharti shoka santapa chinani bahistanoti bhayapisa preshta tamasya shodhum dasa nasaketa kadapitena. And yet, the peculiar nature of Mahabhava is that outwardly it shows the signs of terrible distress, sorrow, and pain. And although these signs are but external, the Lord can never tolerate seeing such a state in his most beloved devotees. Commentary. Krishna cannot bear to see his devotees crying out pitifully and shedding torrents of tears in the pain of separation from him, even though he knows that these are not truly signs of unhappiness. Real or not, these signs of distress in his devotees force him to respond. In this state, his title Bhagavan is best understood to mean the most loving. In other words, when a devotee actually has tears, the devotee is actually crying with genuine tears, crying of separation or crying of intense hankering. These tears, as we oftentimes heard from Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he was saying that he was opening up a school for crying to help the devotees understand how to cry for Krishna. In fact, he even describes so beautifully in the story of Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava in that conversation. when Uddhava was going to try to help Nanda Maharaj, he was crying so much, and he was thinking, how am I going to tell Nanda Maharaj to stop crying? He should be crying. I'm going to try to tell him, but there's no need to cry. Don't you know who your son is? But at the same time, he should be crying. Because this is how a devotee experiences such genuine association with the Lord, is by crying for the Lord. So how, I can't tell him to stop crying. It would completely contradict the philosophy. Stop crying. Don't cry. Cry more. Cry more. He was saying. So, Krishna, when he sees his devotees crying in that way, as Sanatana Goswami is stating here, he says that his devotees crying out pitifully and shedding torrents of tears in the pain of separation from him, even though he knows that these are not truly signs of unhappiness, real or not, these signs of distress in his devotees force him to respond. Krishna responds in different ways. But I want to get to the next, because so, I don't want to, I'm afraid I might run out of time. And I want to get to the next verse, which hints at why does Krishna keep it, this prema bhakti hidden. Loka bahir drishta parastu bhavam tam brahmakam prema bhavam vilokya bhaktavakama vihasanti bhaktangs tat prema bhaktim bhagavan nadate. When persons addicted to mundane vision see the bewildering symptoms of ecstasy born from pure love of God, they ridicule the devotee. Because such mundane persons have no desire to achieve devotional service, the Supreme Lord withholds from them his prema bhakti. Commentary. It is for the good of foolish people that the personality of Godhead doesn't grant them prema bhakti. For lack of spiritual vision, materialists cannot begin to appreciate what pure love of God is. So when Vaishnavas show symptoms of the ecstasies of prema, crying out loud and appearing as if in great pain, the materialist, not at all attracted to share in these feelings, simply laugh at the devotees. This is very relevant, and this will become more revealed even later. I'm not going to speak so much about it now. But the reason why it'll become more revealed later is because, as we hinted at yesterday, Narada Muni is going to tell Gopa Kumar, the only way you can really understand it is you have to see it yourself. I can tell you so much, but the only way you can really understand it is by seeing it. And then he hints at who shows it and how it can be seen. But if the only way you can really understand it is by seeing it, and if you, when you see it, you're not qualified to see it, you're not prepared to see it, when you see it, you'll think, wait a minute. You'll think this way. And you may find fault, you may criticize. And not only that, but Sanatana Goswami is going to bring up another very, very, very important point. But let me finish the commentary first. The external appearance of pure love of God is certainly bewildering to ordinary people. So they cannot decide whether they are seeing great suffering or great pleasure. And because the Supreme Lord has unlimited compassion for every living entity, he refrains from introducing the mysteries of pure devotional service to those who are unprepared. I'm going to cheat a little. I'm going to read just a few sentences from an upcoming commentary, which we'll come to possibly tomorrow, not today, but just a few sentences because it fluffs this out even more. And Sanatana Goswami says in the commentary, when the supreme ecstasy of prema in separation appears outwardly like supreme distress, there's nothing wrong with this except that persons lacking spiritual knowledge will misunderstand devotional service to be a miserable experience and will have nothing to do with it. They will turn instead to impersonal jnana to achieve liberation, or to materialistic karma to fulfill their desires for happiness. I don't want distress. I want happiness. So when they see Mahabhava, when they see pain, suffering, they deride it and they think, hey, I'm going to go listen to these other people who only talk about happiness. I don't want distress. And then they'll start thinking. They'll start thinking about liberation sounds nice. Let me hear from those who don't speak about bhakti, who don't speak about prema, who don't speak about ecstasies of separation. They don't speak in any way about these things. I'd rather go there because they only present things in a happy way for the future. And yes, there is bliss in not existing. At least I won't suffer. And they accept that as bliss. So they'll go. They'll go to the Brahmavadis. They'll go to the impersonalists. And they'll hear from them. So Krishna, being compassionate to them, he keeps it hidden. Keeps it hidden from them. And we're going to read about, probably not today, I want to read a very, very wonderful commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I hope it will encourage you to come tomorrow. It's a wonderful commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, where he explains why Shukadeva Goswami, in his final instructions to Maharaj Parikshit, speaks about jnana. His last instructions to Parikshit Maharaj. The last instructions he gives, he speaks about jnana, and he does it for a reason. Now, we're speaking about this whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Parikshit Maharaj. He's telling everything that he's heard from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. And yet the last instructions he gives to Parikshit Maharaj is about jnana. You're not that body. And when you get bitten by the snake, don't worry about it, you're not that body. And he's going to speak, these are his final instructions. And Shukadeva Goswami, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is going to think, what am I doing? He's going to give his reasons why I've done something contrary. Krishna likes to keep this bhakti hidden, and I kind of exposed it a little bit too much. And now I have to think of a way to keep it hidden from those who are not ready for it, but at the same time, for those who are ready for it, they'll hear it with different ears, and they'll relish it. So this is what we're going to hear about tomorrow. Not today. No, we're going to hear about it tomorrow. How Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Shukadeva Goswami's reasoning for giving his final instructions about jnana to Maharaj Parikshit. Anyways, so the point is that they will turn instead to impersonal jnana to achieve liberation, or to materialistic karma to fulfill their desires for happiness. Rather than listen to the perfect authorities on bhakti, they will hear from ordinary, ignorant men. So Krishna is very compassionate to them. Better they hear from proper authorities, and therefore sometimes he keeps these topics hidden because they're not ready for it yet. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to give it. Example is given, just like a caring mother. She has a very sick child. And the sick child, because the child's sick, she hides all the sweets from him. It doesn't mean that she doesn't want to give him the sweets. It means the child needs to be ready to eat the sweets and digest the sweets. So she hides them from the child. When the child's ready, she'll break out the sweets. So in the same way, it's not that Krishna doesn't want to give prema bhakti. But if they're not ready to hear it, he hides it. He hides it so they can't see it. And even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains that sometimes even his devotees are coming to him for some fruitive gain, but it's just like those well-known verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita that sometimes my devotees come to me for the desire for the fulfillment of their material desires, and they willingly give up nectar to drink poison. Why should I give them material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce them to take shelter of my lotus feet and make them forget. So it's not that Krishna is not willing to give, but to give prema bhakti, one actually has to have a very strong desire for it. Strong desire and the cultivation of such desire. So that is the point that is being brought out in these verses. And there's still more verses which we'll speak about tomorrow. And we'll read that commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also tomorrow. And I believe my time is up, because I actually started on time today. I should end on time. So I thank you all very much for coming online, and for those who came to participate in the Bhakti Sangama Festival. And if you're interested in hearing about Shukadev Goswami's thoughts, we'll reveal them tomorrow in our class tomorrow. We will end here. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaurava Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.